Hi, welcome
Blog
to the Christ
Talk
in Me
Radio.
Ministry. Welcome to the Christ in Me Ministry. I'm your host, Janetta Allen. And today I have a message here to minister to you. Today's topic message is titled, The Sacrifice of Christ, Once and for All Times. Amen. I'm going to be coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 9 through 18. And so we're just going to really dive into this word. Praying as always that I may decrease and he increases all the more to this none of me and all of him. I continue to pray for you, the listener, that what God has for you, let it be for you. Amen. So I'm not going to delay right here because I only have a limited amount of time when I do these messages. So if you have a book or a Bible, should I say, if you have a Bible, I'm asking you to go to the book of Hebrews. Amen. The book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Coming from the book of Hebrews. Let's see. Oh, boy. Hebrews chapter 10. Go to it, if you will. I'm sorry for being a little bit silent, y'all. I'm actually going to my Bible. All right, so here we go in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 9 through 18. So let me give you a little bit of overview before I actually start diving into the scriptures. So many of us know that Christ was the sacrifice for us, right? He died on the cross, was crucified on the cross, and died on that very cross, and the sins of the entire world lay upon him. Amen. And as he did that, what he did was made it possible for us to have salvation and have eternal life with Christ, with God. Amen. Also, what that also did was it took condemnation off of us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. Amen. And we wouldn't have to suffer the punishment that we would have had suffered had not our sins been taken away. Amen. So Christ did that for us. Amen. So basically what I want to minister on here today is kind of like a little bit of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. We still have people that are living according to Old Testament when they should be living according to New Testament. Amen. God did away with the old to bring in the new so that we had life with him eternally. Amen. So we have people that are still in churches that are ministering according to the Old Testament and telling people, you know, that you need to confess your sins daily. Whatever you've done wrong, you need to confess it to the pastor, the bishop, or whatever spiritual leader that is in that church. You need to confess that to that individual in order for your sins to be forgiven. Well, in reality, that is not the truth. You don't need to do that at all because the Christ died once, one time, one sacrifice, and for all time. Amen? So, back in the Old Testament days, when people became evident of their sin, okay, the priests would go in to the holy place, and there was a veil, amen, and he would go behind that veil, and he would make atonement for the sins of the people, amen. Yearly, they would kill animals and sacrifice, put the blood of the animals on the altar as a sacrifice to God or as an offering to God for the remission of sins, okay? Now, they would do this yearly, okay? So if this was kind of like a covering of their sins, it didn't make the people perfect, and it didn't take away their sins, but it was kind of like a covering of their sins, okay? But they had to do this yearly in order for the covering to continue. Yet, this thing could not take away their sins. The people were still going to be held accountable for what they did. Okay? The covering was just so that they wouldn't be punished at that time. Okay? When they did what they did. So God wouldn't punish them at a time. You know, the offering of the animals and stuff was like a sacrifice to him to say, Lord, you know, forgive us for what we've done. You know, cover this. You know, cover this for us so, you know, we don't get punished with that. Amen. Now, that no longer has to happen. When God brought the Christ in, amen. See, God had already seen that that wasn't going to perfect the people. Amen. He already knew that that wasn't going to take away the sins of the people, that the people was going to continue on in what they were doing, and eventually they was going to die a death that was going to condemn them to hell. And so in order for God to reconcile us back to himself in the manner he originally planned us to be, he had to bring in the Christ to be a sacrifice for us all. Amen. And for one time. And so what that means is that no longer did the priest or the high priest have to go in and do this yearly thing because of what Christ did that one time on the cross. That was going to be for all times, okay? So that was going to take away the sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, some of you might be listening to this and say, well, how can that be? How can God forgive me for something that I ain't already did? How can God forgive me for something in my past that was so terrible? How can God forgive me for what I'm doing right now? Don't I have to daily ask him to take away this sin? Or, you know, some people even, when they get up out of their bed, they say, Lord, forgive me for the sins that I'm about to do. You don't even have to do that. Why? Because the Christ already made that possible. He already finished that. He already settled that in the holy places, amen? That is already settled with God, and no longer do we have to go before pastors and leaders and this person and that person, and no longer do we have to cry every day, every time we do something, and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. No, because your sin has already been forgiven with the blood of Christ being sacrificed for us. Amen? Now, we're going to go through Hebrews 10, and that's going to back up everything that God just told me to tell you here today. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10. I said I'm going to start in verse 9, but I'm actually going to start in verse 1. Because this gives you an overview of what I just said about what the Old Testament used to do. Verse 1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So it says that law that was put in place to show the people where their sin was, okay, it says, can never with those sacrifices that the priest, in other words, what the priest made, those sacrifices which they did yearly, continually, it could never make the people perfect. Amen? Verse 2. It says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. So what is, and it has a question mark. It says, so then would they not have ceased to be offered? So what it's saying is, if that was going to make the people perfect, offering up sacrifices daily, monthly, or yearly, then would they not have to continue to do it? Okay? If that was going to make the people perfect, why would there be a need for them to continually go before God and put their sins before him and ask for forgiveness of them and put these sacrifices and these offerings to him, hoping that those sins would be covered? If that was going to take away their sins, then why would they continue to do it? It couldn't, right? It couldn't because they were not perfect themselves, and animals, that just wasn't going to hit it for God, okay? God wasn't interested in their burnt sacrifices and offerings, amen? Verse 2 says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins." We just well talked about that. It says, "But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." So with the Old Testament, every time they came to God and they made a sacrifice for their sins, it was continually reminding them of their sins. Amen? And so that would make the cross of Christ in vain, because the cross of Christ, what that did for us is that allowed God to use him to take away our sins for now, past, and forevermore. Amen? And it also allowed God not to remember our sins no more. So God is not continually rehearsing and bringing up our sins to us, and we shouldn't be continually and rehearsing our sins daily and bringing them up to nobody else. Amen? Why? Because, listen to this. In verse 4, it says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." No, that is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. Verse 5, it says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," talking about the Christ, "he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." So what that means is God did not accept the sacrifice and the offerings of bulls, of animals, of sheep, of goats, of all that. That is not what he was looking for. Amen. That is not what he wanted. Amen. And that was not what was needed for us. Amen. But also says in that same scripture, it says, "But a body hast thou prepared me." Amen. So the body is Christ, and he was being prepared to be that body for us on the cross, to bear our sins upon himself while he lay on that cross, to be our penalty and to take our judgment and our penalty upon himself. So not only was he taking our sins upon himself, but he was also taking the penalty for the sins upon himself. Whew, my God. So what that means, brothers and sisters, is that we no longer have a penalty. We no longer have a judgment in that manner that God is going to judge us for our sins. God is not going to judge us for our sins no more, because that has already been judged with Christ on the cross. Christ on the cross already judged us with the penalty of the Christ. Amen? So the judgment has already come. It's no longer that we're waiting on a judgment from him. The judgment has already come, and Jesus has already paid the price for it. Amen? You may be listening, you may not think that this is true, and you may, because maybe you've been taught for so many years, well, you know, God is coming, you know, the Christ is coming back, or God is coming back, he's going to judge me for my sins. No, the judgment has already been put upon the Christ for you and me. Okay? Now, so somebody may be listening and say, okay, well, if Christ has already took the punishment for my sins, and that God's going to remember my sins and my iniquities no more, so he's not even going to put anything that I do that's a sinful act or a sinful behavior, God's not even going to, you know, store that in his memory at all? No, he's not. So somebody else might say, well, so you're giving me a license to go do anything I want to do that's sinful. So I can just go do anything I want to do that's sinful as long as I accept Christ. Nope, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? We don't use our cloak of righteousness as an excuse to do unrighteousness. Because when you do unrighteousness, okay, you still going to have a punishment, but the punishment ain't going to be from God. It's going to be from man. Because we still live in a world that is dominated by man, and man has his rules and regulations and laws that we have to abide by, And, you know, there is a corporal punishment that is given to those that don't abide by the rules and the laws of the land on this earth. Amen? And so when you do something in this earth, you will have a consequence to that, but it's not by God. It's imputed by man, because man don't understand the laws of God unless the mind of Christ is in that man. Amen? So, basically, God don't want us going out there willfully sinning, because he knows that we're not going to have victory on earth. We're going to have to go through a lot of unnecessary things that we shouldn't have to go through if we continue doing sinful acts and behaviors and living in sinful ways. But the sin itself is covered through the blood of Christ. The sin itself is not only covered, but it is taken away through the blood of Christ. So say, I'm going to use this as an example. I'm a member of the body of Christ, okay? I'm a woman of God, member of the body of Christ. Say I go out there later on today and I do something that is contrary to God, something that I know is not fulfilling in the eyes of God. Is that going to send me to hell? No. Is God going to forgive me? He's already forgiven me. Amen? Am I going to be punished by God because of this thing? No. And you might say, what? Huh? It's the truth, brothers and sisters. It's the truth. So, should I keep going to God and falling down to my knees and say, oh, God, forgive me, oh, I'm so, I didn't mean to do this, oh, Lord, oh, I'm so tired, I didn't, Lord, please don't, Lord, oh, God, please don't punish me, don't. God told my girl, what you doing? I, my son already took that penalty for you, so what you down there on your knees crying for and what you begging me for? Because basically what you doing is making my son's labor in vain every time you come to me and ask me for forgiveness for something that you've done, and my son done already made the forgiveness possible through what he has done. My God, somebody better hear this today. Ooh, that's deep. Ooh, that's deep. So, in verse 6, it says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin, thou hast no pleasure. So, God ain't got no pleasure in you going up to the altar and laying down on the altar and saying, Lord, forgive me, please. God, I ain't mean to do this. Lord, I'm such a bad person, old wicked person that I am. And then you going up to the pastor and you getting prayer, and the pastor praying over you and say, oh, my child, I forgive you. Oh, God, forgive you. God done already forgave you. So all that you're doing is making the cross of Christ in vain. Okay? And that's the sin right there, to deny the Christ. To deny what the Christ has done for you is the sin. That's the sin that's unforgivable. If you're denying the Christ, then there remains no sacrifice. There's not even a sacrifice for you. If you deny what the Christ has done for you, then what you're saying is that cannot be possible, what God is saying. And so God said, if you're saying that's not possible, then guess what? For you, that's not possible. But for those who believe, it is the truth. Amen? Because we believe by faith. We have not seen Christ do this. But we've been told and ministered the gospel, so we believe by faith that Christ has done this for us. Amen? Some people say, well, prove it to me. I don't have to prove it to you. It's what God is saying that matters. Amen? It is what he tells us through the Spirit that matters. Amen? Verse 7, it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. So Christ is saying, I come to do the will of my Father, which is allow myself to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world to be upon myself for all time, past, present, and future. Amen. For eternity. One time and for all time. Amen. One time, one sacrifice, and one time for all time. for all of eternity. Amen. So again, Christ died for one time. He's not going to die that death again. He's not going to come back again and die the same death again. He ain't going to send nobody else in his place to do that sacrifice again. You don't have to keep trying to do all kinds of different things and think that God's going to forgive you. No, Christ already made that available to you. That's why they say righteousness cannot be self-righteousness, because righteousness comes from God and not man. God has made us in right standing with him through the Christ. Man cannot make himself in right standing with God through his works and his deeds to God. Because if that was the case, then that too would make Christ's labor in vain. Please hear what the Lord is saying, somebody. Somebody's eyes is being opened today. I did not always understand this myself. I thought that if I went to church 7 days a week, amen, worked in the church every day, went up to the pastor, confessed my sins every day, whenever I did something wrong, confess it, then that made me saved. No, that did not make me saved at all. What made me saved is what Christ did for me and me accepting it as the truth. So when I do not accept it as the truth, then how can Christ do this for me if I don't believe it? I have to have faith in what he's done for me. We have to have faith in what he's done for us. So you don't need to go punishing yourself every time you do something wrong. But again, it's not an excuse to go out and do wrong things, because you have forgiveness. Amen? Because when you do that, then you don't have victory here on earth. Amen? And I know, I don't know about you, but I want to live a victorious life here on earth. I want to live a life where I'm not going through all these different things for unnecessary reasons. Now, we do suffer for Christ's sake, but let our suffering not be because of evil doing. Amen. Verse 8 says, above what he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Okay? So again, he doesn't want sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, and he doesn't have any pleasure in them either. Amen. So let us not make Christ's labor in vain with his sacrifice unto us by continually to seek out spiritual leaders for forgiveness of sins. And I don't care how many Hail Marys you might say. You know, you have Catholics that they're going up unto the priest, and he'll tell, well, my child, say 10 Hail Marys and do this and do that. That ain't going to make you saved. That don't make nobody saved. That's not going to take away your sins. The only thing that will take away your sins, and that has taken away your sins already, is the blood of Christ. Amen? Brothers and sisters, understand this. God loved us so much that he sent Christ to be a sacrifice unto the world to save the world and not condemn the world. Okay? Meaning the people in the world. Amen? And it's for eternal. Okay? So that means that he didn't just come do this as a one-time thing. So, you know, you have plenty of people that will come in and they'll go and they'll accept Christ as their Savior. And then when they do something wrong, they feel like they got to go repent and accept him all over again. No, once you accepted him and believe by faith what he's done for you, then it is already finished. God is remembering your sins and your iniquities no more. He's writing his laws upon your heart and in your mind and planting them in there through the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you don't have to go unto man, any man, no man, and keep confessing what you done did and rehearsing it in your own head and speaking it out to everybody every time you do something to say, hey, I've done this, now can I be forgiven? You've already been forgiven. Stop making Christ's labor in vain. It's like you're saying to him, I don't believe what you've done. I don't believe what you've done for me. Amen? But you got to believe it, because if you don't believe it, then how's there going to be a sacrifice of sins for you? Amen? Verse 9 says again, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So here is the Christ coming to do the will of God. What is the will of God that Christ came to do? He came to be a sacrifice for the world one time and for all time, for the sins of the world one time and for all time, meaning eternity. It says he take up away the first what? The first covenant that was in Old Testament. Amen. That he may establish the second what? The new covenant, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the old way of doing things is done away with, according to Old Testament, and according to New Testament, which is Christ, the new things have been brought in, which is the sacrifice one time for all of the sins for all time. Amen? It says, by verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One time for all time. Amen. Verse 12, it says, but this man, meaning the Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So after Christ had completed his assignment, and he offered one sacrifice, which is his self, one body, himself, for sins, for the people, forever. Amen? Meaning past, present, and future. It says after he had done that, he sat down on the right hand of God. So if Christ was meant to come back and do this all over again, then where would be the rest for him? He rested at the right hand of God because his work was done and finished once and for all time. No longer will there be another sacrifice brought in to do the same thing that Christ did. And no longer will Christ come back and do the same thing that he done already did, because that will make him doing it the first time in vain. Amen? Amen. Verse 14, I'm skip to verse 13 and go to verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Okay, for by one offering, meaning himself, one time he was offered up for us. He has perfected us in the Spirit forever. And we are made holy by this. We are sanctified. We are sanctified because of this one sacrifice that Christ made for us for all time. Amen? So what this means, brothers and sisters, is that our spirits are perfect, our flesh is imperfect, and that's why we continue to do sinful behaviors sometimes. But the flesh, or should I say the spirit, is perfect, and that is what God sees. He sees our perfect spirit. He does not see our imperfections, but he sees our perfections. And our perfections are in the Spirit, the new Spirit that we have with the body of Christ. Amen? That is what God sees. He does not see our imperfections. He does not remember our sins and our iniquities no longer. And if you don't believe that he doesn't see your sins and iniquities any longer, listen to this. Verse 16 of Hebrews 10 said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days." After what days? After the days that Christ has come in and sacrificed his life for us. He says, saith the Lord, I will put my laws. Who will put their laws? God will put his laws into our hearts. It says, I will put my laws into their hearts. God will put his laws into our hearts. It says also, and in their minds will I write them. So in our minds, our hearts, and our minds, God will write his laws. Amen. Verse 17, it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Woo! There it is. There it is right there. So if you had any doubt in your mind, there the scripture goes right there. And their sins, who is there? Who is they? Who is there? There are us who have received the Christ. Us who have received the Christ, our sins and our iniquities, he remembers no more. Why? Because Christ took away the sin. He took away the sin with the sacrifice of himself. So now our spirits, which was once corruptible, it's now a new spirit that is incorruptible. And that new spirit is perfected, and in that new spirit, there is no sin. The sin is in the flesh, not in our spirit. The sin is in the flesh, not in our spirit. I'm going to say it again. The sin is in the flesh, not in our spirit. So it is our flesh that sins because evil is always present, but our spirit is alive with Christ, and the perfection is in the spirit. So if you wonder why you keep sinning on some things, it's because you move by your flesh, not your spirit. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Where the removing of the sin is through Christ, now no longer does there remain an offering to be made up to God because of the sin. Because it's already been finished, done, and settled with the Christ. Amen. I'm going to stop there. And I'm just make this very clear again. Christ died once for all, for the sins of the world, for all time. Amen. So, you don't have to keep rehearsing your sins, counting them one by one, day by day. You don't have to keep saying the sinner's prayer over and over and over and over when you feel like you ain't up to God's standards. Because God said his grace is sufficient enough for you. His grace is sufficient enough for us all. So we don't have to keep rehearsing it. We ain't got to feel condemnation by it. You know, guilt comes up, conviction comes up because God doesn't want us doing those things. But he ain't going to condemn us for it. And if he ain't going to condemn us, don't you let nobody else do it neither. Amen. This is the end of the message here on Blog Talk Radio and the Christ in Me Ministry. I'm your host, Minister Janetta Allen. I hope something that I said here today you have received through the blood of Christ. And just remember, you can do it if you give God a chance. You can do it. Yeah, yes, you can.